This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 19, verses 37 to 48. When he came near the place where the road goes down to Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on his words. Amen.
So as we go through this theme of the hallmarks of the church, it seems we have landed on a very obvious one: prayer. It's, to me, is one of the basic, fundamental hallmarks of a Christian community. But what do we mean by prayer? The first thing we have to say is that it's more than what we do here on a Sunday. It's more than the formal public prayers of a service. That's only one tiny facet of what prayer is. They can be very general on a Sunday. They are trying to express something on behalf of everyone. And yet everyone here has different needs. In a different place with God, different place with each other. There are different priorities in your life, different concerns on your heart from mine and from those sitting around you. So when you think about what we try and do publicly on a Sunday with prayer, it's actually quite a craft. We kind of try and touch all the bases of everyone within a room. I think that is part of the reason why, from my perspective, it is good to have a lot of people involved in leading our prayers, so that we hear different voices. We hear and experience different styles. We pick up on different themes, because every voice that shares and leads prayers from the front of the church, they too have different concerns, and they bring them to us in prayer. And it helps me to find a freshness within my own prayer life. So I very much value every contribution that's made. In our reading today, which is often used around the passion narratives of Easter, we know it as Jesus clearing or cleansing the temple. He uses that one phrase, "My house shall be a house of prayer," quoting from Isaiah 56 and 7. In that section, Isaiah relays God's word to the people about bringing in his people into this house, being brought to the holy mountain to give them joy in his house of prayer. This house of prayer, then, is the place where God is. It's a place of engagement. It is a place and time of encounter. It is where we can boldly pray for the nations. It is a place where we can unload all of the weight of our minds, our hearts, and our lives to God, who always hears. He even hears the stuff that we can't share with anyone else. But as we touched on previously, it's also the place where he connects to us. In the silence, there can be a peace. In the rush of our minds, he can bring a stillness. To our confusion, he can bring clarity. Two patterns for prayer are sown throughout Scripture, but we mainly hear and read of the public ones, which can shape how we regard prayer and how it's done. If we were to paint a mental picture of someone at prayer, what would it look like? Someone with their script firmly clenched in their hand, their best gear on, making the formal address, perhaps more akin to a lawyer petitioning a judge, or something way more intimate. Someone curled up, hands clenched, almost in tears, or someone dancing with joy, hands flung wide. For each of us, the picture we paint in our minds about what prayer looks like will be different. So we need to return to the source to rebalance our ideas with what Jesus himself taught. We turn to Matthew 6, 5 to 8. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they will receive their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is the prelude to Jesus giving to his followers what we know today and what we call the Lord's Prayer. So from this, we can see that there is a place for public prayers. But there's a caution within that. Those who rely on their eloquence and status, they too will have to answer to God. If we earnestly seek to engage and connect with God, find a place, a quiet place, perhaps a place on your own. Close the world away and shut off all the distractions around you. Discard the example of others and all that you've seen the way other people do it. Forget that. You can sit there in silence. You don't need to say a word. As Paul reminds us, God understands our groaning, our sighing, our heartache as prayer. And we don't need to give him a list of all the things that we need, because as we've just heard, he already knows what we need before we even open our mouth. If we think that our prayers have always got to be about something or a list of some kind, we miss the point. When we meet with friends and family, we don't have an agenda. Well, maybe some families do. Perhaps we don't have a list of things we need to talk about. We just sit and chat. It's just time together. And part of our prayer life should be just like that. Time simply spent with your Father. No agenda, no list. Time to talk, to share heart, to time to listen, to hear the whisper of the Spirit and see what you are prompted to pray for or about. We often jump into prayer using words. Perhaps we need to open prayer using silence and actually listen. And that's not about our public prayers, that's about our own private prayers. Maybe a time just listening would inspire the words we share. Perhaps something that we had never even thought about will come to the surface at God's prompting, and we offer that to Him in our prayer. Time just to listen to the whisper of the Spirit and see where He leads us. Can be a place for tears, for laughter, for rejoicing. And through all of this, to remember and recognize that it's a time of encounter with God. We all of us need to grow in our praying. And I think that's why Jesus encouraged his followers to pray regularly and to get into the rhythm and the habit of prayer. And Paul even reminds us to get a prayer closet. A prayer closet? Who's got a prayer closet? Ever thought of what it looks like? There's a couple of examples. Prayer closet, a little space, a space that is set apart for a purpose, so that when you go there, it becomes an intentional act. We shut the rest of the world away for this time, in this space. Even in a crowded house, we can still do that. It's said that Wesley's wife just simply put her apron over her head, and the family knew that she was at prayer and best leave her alone. And I think they had double figures of children. It was some horrendously large number in a very small house. And you can imagine the noise and bustle and the chaos going around her. And she simply went, "Good night, I'm at prayer." And the family knew just to leave her. So you might not have a space that you can separate off to devote for praying. But you have a seat, don't you? Your seat, a familiar, comfortable place. Perhaps having something beside you to signify what you're about to do, to share in, a focal point. And turning our attention to God, we turn away from the demands of the world, and even the demands of our families, even the demands of ourselves for a time. And that's not to say these other things aren't important, they are. It is to say that for this time, this is the most important thing you can be doing. You may find it helpful to set aside a specific time, like an appointment, put it in your diary. But that doesn't work for everyone. And all of these things I have mentioned, I have tried. And none of them work for me. But I offer them out there as things to explore. The main thing is, our prayers must be an intentional action. We set out to seek to understand God's will for our lives, God's good plans for us. And that requires us to engage with Him to get to know what those plans may be. For some of us, it may be a habit that we need to kick, an offense that we need to forgive, a relationship we need to exit, a discipline you need to develop, a wound you need to allow God to heal. And this we learn the offering of surrendering ourselves to God. And that impacts the whole of our faith and life and service and ministry. Most important, we simply bathe in the outpouring of the fact that God loves you. There are times when we are in conversation, when we are going through a difficult season in our own lives, and we're with our dearest friend, and there are times when the words stop. And what do we need? Is we just need someone to put their arms around us and hold us. In prayer, that's what God does. He puts his arms around us and simply holds us. And when we think of it that way, suddenly the big lists, the weighty concerns, drift away. And the moment of being held is more important than anything else. And in that embrace, there's healing, restoration. There is answer to the silent questions we carry. There is hope given to us. There is life in the hug from God. But we also have to recognize it's hard work. We can start with enthusiasm that lasts for, a week or so. And then something happens and interrupts the pattern we are trying to establish. Just for a day, and then we get back to it. And then it comes again, and it interrupts it for a couple of days, and then soon we find that we have given up. We just need to keep going back. If we do that, there will come a time when we don't need a specific place or time. We will have developed the habit of practicing the ongoing presence of God at all times in our lives. You familiar with Brother Lawrence? You've heard of Brother Lawrence, some of you, yes, no. Napoleonic soldier injured in battle. Went to a monastery for rehabilitation and healing and restoration, stayed with the community, and at all the times when the monks were heading off for a prayer time, he was never there. He was just gone. Where was he? He was up to his elbows in dishwater, doing the dishes, doing the chores. And they said to him, "Brother, why don't you come to the chapel and worship and pray with us?" And his answer was, up to his elbows in water, "I am. I'm doing it right here, right now. I can be with God and he with me wherever I am. I don't need a place or a bell or a space. I know he's right here, right with me." Does it make you holier than thou? Does it make you a religious nut? It just means that you're sincere in our faith. And God, who knows our hearts, will recognize that and grant us our heart's longings. Because as we attune and connect with God, our heart longings conform to his heart's desire. And he will answer. As we spend time dwelling in God's presence, we may discover that the answers we thought we wanted change. And our thinking realigns to God's bigger purpose for us. And deep in our core, we find that deep peace. The peace that is the very presence of God in us. For me, the greatest encouragement is Jeremiah 28:13. If we seek God with our whole hearts, he lets us find him. In some ways, Prayer is like almost a divine sense of hide and seek. Come and join the game. Can you find me? Do you know where I am? Where am I in this event? Where am I in that event? If you seek him with all your hearts, he lets us find him. And that to me is the great encouragement. And I know none of this answers the issue of, well, what happens when God doesn't seem to show up? What happens when our prayers aren't answered? What happens when everything around us is dark? That, my friends, is a series that we're doing later in the year. So we'll come back to that. But I just wanted to put that broad perspective of what prayer is before you. And I hope it aligns with what your understanding is and your experiences and your practice is. But if they don't, perhaps I've offered you a different insight into what prayer can be for you. All I do is I encourage you, keep praying. Keep going back to your Heavenly Father. Keep listening. Keep spending time. And he is with you. He is with you. And for that, we do give thanks to God.